Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jeff, we have the wrong PowerPoint for the message this morning, so let's go without. Today we want to talk about learning the importance of relationship. We want to go back to God's Word and understand why religion is so dangerous and relationship so filled with delight. Maybe as never before, the communication avenues allow us to understand the danger of religion. On September 11th, 2001, 19 militants associated with an Islamic extremist group, Al-Qaeda, attacked four airliners and carried out suicide attacks against targets in the United States. Two of the planes were flown into the Twin Towers. You probably have seen that. A third plane hit the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C., and a fourth plane, through the courage of some of the passengers, crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. We live in a post-9/11 world. Over 3,000 people were killed during the attacks in New York City and Washington, including more than 400 police officers and firefighters. Religion is dangerous. On the evening of the 13th of November 2013, a series of coordinated terrorist attacks occurred in Paris, the capital of France, and its northern suburb, Saint-Denis. It began at 21:20, and three suicide bombers struck near the Stade de France, followed by suicide bombings and mass shootings in cafes, restaurants, and a music venue in Paris. The attackers killed 130 people. There were 368 injuries that we're aware of, and of those, almost 100 of them very, very serious. Seven attackers also died. We live with terrorism around us. Religion is dangerous. Both of these attacks carried out in the name of God, not our God. And as one of the people I listen to once in a while on the radio was bemoaning the dangers of religion, they declared that not only those who belong to this false religion are killers, so are Christians, and then made an overarching statement that religion in general is dangerous. And at first I was offended, and then I brought to mind the Crusades, brought to mind what happened in Ireland, perhaps even still happening a little bit there, some of what is happening in other countries like Lebanon. And although I don't believe true Christians are dangerous, those who name the name of Jesus sometimes are. Religion can be dangerous. I would declare, if you're thinking more broadly on this, that the reason religion is dangerous is because they are made up of humans. And if you look at history, the history of mankind, you will discover that not only have Christians been dangerous, or those that name the name of Jesus, or Muslims, not only have Muslims been dangerous, but atheists have been dangerous. And in fact, if you look at what has happened in terms of the most killing in the last generation, the one we live in, almost all of them done by people in mass. And when I say almost all, I mean by number of those who declare no belief in God at all, like Hitler and Stalin, and certainly everything that's happened in China and Cuba, and we could go on. There's one common denominator, and that is humans. Humans hurt humans. The danger that Christians face is more intense when we say religion is dangerous, when we talk about 9/11, or we talk about what happened November 15th. Religion is definitely dangerous. But for the Christian, it's even more intense, because as the Bible will display and has displayed many, many times today out of Mark 11, what the Bible displays is that the danger of religion is not only physical, it's spiritual. What I mean by that is that there are those who think they are Christians who are self-deceived. There are those who are living their lives thinking that they belong to God and will be able to spend eternity with Him, who, when they get to that place where they see Jesus, will hear these words from His mouth: "Depart from me, I never knew you." Religion is dangerous because it can give you a sense of security that is undeserved. And in fact, as we study the life of Jesus, which we have been doing from the book of Mark, what we have discovered in this journey together is that God hates godless religion. Again, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to see it on display with a miracle, a destructive miracle that Jesus does, as well as with a whip that Jesus takes in His hands and displays His displeasure with religion. These are often seen by those who study the last week of Jesus as confusing. I think if we want all of the details of everything that happens here, we will find them confusing as well. But what is not confusing is the overall drive of what Jesus is trying to accomplish in teaching us, teaching His disciples, and in displaying to them what He wants them to learn. And so we're going to miss some of the confusion that this text has brought, but we're going to focus in on and display what is being driven by Jesus with passion. We'll pick it up in verse 12 and we'll read all the way to verse 25 and 26. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, He was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, He went to see if He could find anything on it. When He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Much has been made of this by scholars. I think they are missing the point by making much of this, but we are aware of it. And He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And His disciples heard it. Well, why did they hear it? Because Jesus wanted it recorded. He wants us to hear it. And they came to Jerusalem, and He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who brought in the temple. And He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And He would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Now picture this, because we need to get the right biblical picture of Jesus if we want to know Him. If we want to do things in His name and alignment with His character, this is the biblical Jesus. And He was teaching them and saying to them, now imagine, here He is with a whip driving out animals and people and overturning tables. And as He's doing it, He is declaring, shouting out in the midst of the noise, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy them, for they feared Him, because all the crowd were astonished at His teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As He passed with His disciples by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots, miraculously. And Peter remembered and said to Him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." This is a strange text, at least for our culture to hear, and I would assume for those of us that are in this room, for we are part of this culture, for us to hear. Here is Jesus, meek and mild. Here is Jesus, whom we see correctly as the greatest love picture in history. Here is Jesus displaying in His interaction with a fig tree destruction. Here is Jesus entering into the temple, and in this place that was created for the worship of Jesus, the God of the Bible, in this temple, He finds things that are so displeasing to Him that in this last week of His life, when He is magnifying what He is trying to teach to us, He wants us not to miss this. And so what is it that God wants us here to hear? I want us to note first, and maybe horrifyingly, religion without relationship makes God upset. Religion without relationship makes God angry. Religion without relationship in a place built for His glory, religion without relationship even as signified by a tree without fruit, brings out the destructive side of Jesus. Don't miss this, because we play in this playground in Canada. If you doubt that, my testimony will shatter your doubts. Raised in the church by a strong Christian family who did everything right in terms of their own relationship with Jesus, in terms of their delight in bringing us into the presence of God as a family for the gathering of the preached word. And I grew up knowing I was a Christian and yet not knowing Jesus. I had that shattered when I was at SAIT Power Engineering and discovered that the Christianity that Jesus talks about in the Bible was not the hypocrisy that I was living in thinking I was a Christian. One of our elders here at Cloverdale Baptist Church, when they came to this church, came to me and said, I was raised in the church by a godly family, and I did everything I was supposed to do in that godly family, including being baptized, thinking I was a Christian. But as I reflect now on my life, I was religious without relationship. This is a danger for every person that is in this room. Whether you have been in the church for your whole life, or this is your first Sunday here, or you're just now coming back to Jesus, Jesus wants to use these illustrations, these miracles, or I suppose the chasing out of the temple, not a miracle, but these actions that He is a part of, to awaken in us a hatred of religion and a longing for relationship. And if we don't hear it, and if we don't allow it to infiltrate our own convictions, our own foundations, then we are missing out on what Jesus desires us to hear in this last week of His life, in our lives today. So let's look at this. Why does Jesus curse a fig tree? R.C. Sproul, I think, is very helpful. He says this: Jesus chastened the religious leaders for their show of spirituality and righteousness despite their underlying lack of fruit. The fig tree represents those who claim to know God, who are bearing no fruit. The fig tree represents those who are religious without an authentic relationship. The barren fig tree, one of my favorite pastors quoting, the barren fig tree graphically illustrates the empty pretense of the temple. In other words, both of these interactions, one with creation, one with the created, those humans, both of these interactions are putting the same thing on display for us. Fruitless interaction with God means that you have not authentically interacted with God. Another pastor, in any case, when Jesus cursed the tree, He was addressing hypocrisy in the Jewish people. In our words this morning for this sermon, He was addressing religion without relationship. He was addressing those who claim to be followers of God and yet showed no authentic fruit in their lives. And then Jesus goes to the temple and addresses the same issue. Here's why it's so important to read what we read in context: the cursing of the fig tree and the whipping of those in the temple. are given to show us the same thing, given to warn us of the same thing that we need to be warned of, and that is we can be very religious, even rightly religious, and not know God. And God hates that. Now to look at what Jesus did in the temple. Now again, we need to understand that this temple was fairly new in terms of this structure and history. And probably only in the last 2 or 3 years, maybe even as some scholars say in the last year, that they allow a lot of the commerce to move right into the courts of the temple. The Jews hated Herod, but were thankful that he had built them this temple, and it was this temple that was virtually is the word I'm looking for. Synonymous, there's a big word that I said right, with their religion. In other words, as they saw the temple, they thought of God. As they saw the temple, they thought of the biblical God. The first temple built by Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. The much less imposing building was completed under Zerubbabel in 515 BC, often damaged, never destroyed, and then this King Herod rebuilt and made beautiful in about 20 to 19 BC, this temple that now Jesus enters, all built with the idea, at least the idea, of pleasing the God of the Bible. In fact, the original temple, all of its designed by Almighty God. And yet as Jesus enters, he discovers so many that are dead in their religion. And Jesus is not neutral about religion. He hates it. I think the danger we face is very similar to the danger that these people faced. And sometimes we remove ourselves from what was going on. These people in Jesus' day wanted to make God happy with them. And that's why they were there. I think even the motives, although when we're guessing motives, I have to say I don't know this. But I think even the motives of those that were in there that Jesus is chasing out were probably good. Mixed with sin and the flesh, but they probably thought that they were a part of this important interaction with God. And yet this interaction with God was not an interaction with the God of the Bible, but a God of their own imagination, or perhaps the deviation of the demonic realm to trick them. God is not neutral with religion. So the fig tree and the interaction with people at the temple show us. And again, in my own heart, this brings encouragement and conviction and a little bit of fear for you who I have the privilege of being entrusted with the elders, my fellow elders. Because as I was self-deceived, it would be my logical guess that some of you are as well. And passages like this are given to awaken in us before it's too late. A rejection of tradition, if we think that's all there is, and an embracing of Jesus and the life transformation he can bring. Spiritual lesson number two from this text. Relationship with God through Jesus is empowering. Relationship with God through Jesus is empowering. Here now Jesus interacting with his disciples. They say, what did you do? What's with the fig tree? What's with the temple? Here's Jesus' answer. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots, and Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them. Now we would expect, right? We'd expect him to explain why he did that. Now he does, but he does it in a positive way. Notice this. Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Huh? Rabbi, the fig tree is withered. Jesus answers, yes. Be in right relationship with God. Have faith in God. And then he says, and this is amazing, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now notice again, it's relational, it's interaction with God in prayer, interaction with our faith in God. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now we see this line of thinking going through. Fig tree, this false understanding representing Israel. They think they have God, they think they have fruit, but there's no fruit on the tree, and so it's destroyed. Goes in the temple, he says, this should be a house of prayer. What does prayer here represent? Well, absolutely prayer, but it's more than that. It's a prayer that's interacting intimately with Almighty God. Jesus is saying, this is about relationship, and when you have this relationship with Almighty God, it shows. It shows when you talk to fig trees. It shows when you love one another. It shows in obedience to the word of God. It shows because you're living your life as though God exists, because he does. So you walk around all day long. You can play in church all day long. You can look like you have all of the religious trappings perfectly. But if you're not producing fruit, you need to go back to the start and say, I want to have faith in God. And it starts with an understanding of who he is. He is a creator, and he is holy. He is sinless. He is completely other. And then I look at my own life, and even though I thought I was a pretty good guy, I wasn't. I was religious, but I missed it. And when I started finally to see myself for who I was in light of the glory of God, you know what I saw? Do you know what you will see if you have faith in Jesus? I saw a sinful man who deserved to go to hell because my sin earned that for me. The wages of sin is death. And then I asked the question, well, how can I fix this problem? And the answer was, I can't. But Jesus has. He's paid the penalty for my sin. He died on the cross for me. I can have a relationship with him. Now it's all about him. Now I go to him and I say, I will praise you. I will trust in you. I will walk with you. I will be intimate with you. Like as if you were the true vine and the Father was the vine dresser and my life was as a branch. And because I'm connected to you through faith, now I will be producing fruit. Relationship with God through Jesus is empowering, brings fruit, changes my life. That doesn't just change my religious behavior. Those people in the temple had religious behavior, but they didn't have Jesus. You see, when you know the God of the Bible, when the God of the Bible knows you in a saving way, there's a transformation that takes place, not to perfection, but on the road to perfection. And now your longing is that your life will delight in him and display his glory. Now you are God-centered, not self-centered. Now you're asking the question, how can I be more like Jesus? And you consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you long for that perfection in your own life, the trials bring. You see the transformation the Bible assumes? And yet so often we, like the religious, are religious without relationship. This passage displays the power of prayer. Don't miss it. But it's not the main point of the passage. The main point of the passage is when you know Jesus, there's a power that changes everything. Because our gospel, God's gospel, is powerful. So now when we interact with God in prayer, we are interacting with the God of the universe. And I don't need to doubt. I just need to rest in him. I need to be James 1, 6 to 8, single-minded. So I'm not unstable in all my ways. Fully devoted to pleasing him, to displaying his glory, to loving him. When I'm interacting with others, when I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm at school, I long for Jesus to be seen in me. Why? Because I know him. See, if you're religious, you're saying, what do I get out of this? If you're in a relationship with him, you know what you get out of it. Now you're asking, God, take my meager, useless life and use it for your glory. Show me how valuable I am to you because you love me and have called me to make a difference that's eternal. So I will pray, I will seek you, I will live my life in such a way that my relationship with you will produce fruit in my life. Brothers and sisters, we live in a generation where the world and the church look strangely similar. I think it's because we have been tricked into thinking that religion saves. And this trick is not a new demonic attack. And even some of the religion, like the temple, or even like a fig tree, some of the religion that deceives us is even stuff we can find in the Bible, but we only look at minimal parts of it. In 1979, a large passenger jet with 257 people on board left New Zealand for a sightseeing flight to Antarctica and then back. The pilots did not know this, but someone had modified the flight coordinates by a mere 2 degrees. Who cares, right? It's only a small mistake. This error placed that aircraft 28 miles, 45 kilometers for us Canadians, to the east of where the pilots assumed they were. And as they approached Antarctica, the pilots descended to a lower altitude to give the passengers a better look at the landscape. That's why they were there, right? And although they were both experienced pilots, neither had made this particular flight before, and they had no way of knowing that the incorrect coordinates had placed them directly in the path of a large mountain, an active volcano that rises from the frozen landscape to a height of more than 12,000 feet. And as the pilots flew onward, the white of the snow and ice covering the volcano blended with the white of the clouds above, making it appear as though they were flying over flat ground. And you know what happened next. The alarms went off. The pilots tried to fly above the mountain, but they were unable to, and that plane crashed 2 degrees off. Brothers and sisters, religion is dangerous because often it's only 2 degrees off. And yet where that takes us is destruction. Much more serious than a plane crash or 9/11 or Paris. As serious as all of those things are. So how do we apply this? I think essential is we understand the danger of religion without relationship. Yes, religion sometimes leads to things that are destructive, but true relationship with Jesus leads to love every time. He says one of the key fruits you produce, you want to know who my disciples are, John 13, look for those who are loving. Look in your own life. Be aware of the fact that it's not how many times you attend church, although we should attend church. It's not how many growth groups or Bible studies you're in, although we should attend Bible studies and growth groups. It's not how well you know your Bible, although we should know our Bible extremely well. Don't get tricked 2 degrees off and spend eternity in hell. Stay focused on Jesus. And through him, and what he has done for you, spend eternity in his presence and glory, and what you have here on earth, use to bring him glory. I hear all sorts of things going on around the world, some wonderful, some scare me. I hear of revival in some places in the Middle East that excites me. I think I shared this with you already, but I heard of a church in Canada, who said, hey, come check out Jesus. Just this morning, someone sharing with me that Jesus is our homeboy. But somebody there interacting with. Brothers and sisters, there's a danger that comes from religion without relationship. And the relationship that Jesus has called us in is an all-defining relationship. Please hear this from a cursed fig tree and a chased out temple. When you come to Jesus, you come as you are. You come with nothing to offer. And he transforms you. As you open your hands to him and you say, I have nothing, but I'm all in. All that I have and all that I am is yours. Remember the rich young ruler. Remember the cursed fig tree. Remember the temple. All that I have is yours. You can trick me and you can trick yourself, but you can't trick God. Christianity is but a relationship that drives and defines us and produces fruit. So here, this is the first implication. Let's realize that religion is dangerous, and it's not just what we see around us with fundamentalists in the Muslim faith. It's also traditionalists in the Christian faith, which I would say, although not in terms of a danger to others, far more serious in terms of a danger to ourselves. Religion is dangerous. The danger of religion without relationship. Secondly, this is an encouragement for us to do a self-check. Now, again, I hope that the vast majority of us will come to this. This is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We'll come to this and say, I pass. I love Jesus. I want to bear fruit. I'm not just caught up in religious trappings. I'm not just 2 degrees off. I'm right on. I delight in Jesus. The gospel is forgiveness of me. You remind yourself of the gospel and delight in it. 2 Peter 1:10, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. This is for us to say, am I truly saved? One of the saddest passages of Scripture, and it's a passage that changed my life, so it's one that I love, is Jesus turning to people around him. It starts off in Matthew 7, don't judge, and then it says, now judge your own self by this and judge those who preach to you, those who are your leaders, your elders, your pastors. By the fruit you will know them. And then he says, many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do? And then there's this list of things they did in his name. And he will say these terrifying words, depart from me, I never knew you. Then he goes on to display. He says, well, how do you know this? I'll tell you a story. There's a wise man and he built his house on a, what does a wise man build his house on? A rock. And a foolish man built his house on the sand. And you say, okay, what's the rock? And a lot of people say, Jesus. Well, it includes Jesus. But in this passage, it's specifically hearing the word of God and applying it. It's the fruit of obedience. In other words, if you hear the word of God and you don't apply it, there's a very good chance, even if you're in the church, even if your house looks exactly like the house of someone who's authentic, even if you look perfect, when the storms come, you will display that you're not authentic in your faith. And worse than a collapsing house is all eternity. Depart from me, I never knew you. We see in this passage a demand for us to know that the danger of religion without relationship is real. We see in this passage that we should be doing a self-check. Thirdly, in this passage is a very strong challenge for us to pray, to be a people who pray. Now I want to understand it in context, but it's still displayed here with power. The context, make sure you have a right relationship with God. It will produce fruit. It will produce power. There's this, it doesn't come with mere words. It comes with power. There's changed life. But also notice this praying, this faith, and what it produces. And brothers and sisters, this church should be a house of prayer. Your home should be a house of prayer. Your very life now, the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 6, so clearly displays, should be a house of prayer. We're going to talk about this a lot more as we get into the new year. We're going to start next Sunday with our Christmas series. As we get into the new year, we're going to talk about what it means to be fully devoted to Jesus. We're going to talk about revival, and we're going to actually set apart a week where we as a church stop all other programming, except for Awana. We're going to keep Awana going so that parents can come on that night if you need someone to take care of your children. They can come on that night and be a part of the prayer. But we're going to set aside this whole week for relational pursuit of God in prayer. There are going to be elders at the front after the service. A pastor will come as well. We don't want you to leave this place if right now in your heart you're saying, okay, I start to look and I see a lot of religion and very little relationship. Don't go another day in hypocrisy. If you're here and you just want someone to pray with, you've been struggling with some issues in your life, we want to make an avenue available to you of having those that can pray with you up front. Again, just come to the front. There'll be elders. There'll be some ladies here as well. We want to give you the opportunity to get right with God today. A cursed fig tree. A cleared out temple. And the message is clear for Cloverdale Baptist Church. Religion without relationship is dangerous. And relationship with Jesus is powerful and life transforming. Oh, that we would find ourselves in the second and not the first. Let's pray. Father, you know us so well. You know that when I was self-deceived, I couldn't see. And there are those here that need to hear today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this call to authentic salvation, authentic relationship. God, for all of us, we struggle sometimes with the trappings of religion and tradition, and we miss out on the delight of relationship. Would you please help us to focus in the right areas and to use all of these religious blessings you have given us to deepen our intimacy with you and our conformity to our Lord Jesus. Today, on behalf of your people, I offer ourselves to you. Today, on behalf of your people here, I pray you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would search us and try us and see if there is any unclean way in us. And we'd leave this place changed and live our lives in the presence of you, our King. In Jesus' name and for his sake.